All right. Well, it's been a couple of years since we had the great fortune of having Don Kerr here online with us. Don is AAA Northeast Director of Student Lending and College Services. Regular listeners know we have representatives from AAA Northeast on the program very regularly, but you may not think of AAA when it comes to things like college and student loans. You probably think of them as the place you call when you get a flat tire on the side of the road, or you know, maybe if you're looking to get some information or some reservations for a vacation or something. But in fact, as we talked about the last time he was on the program, Don is an expert in regards to student lending. He is AAA Northeast Director of Student Lending and College Services. Don, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
So let's expand on that a little more, because I know even the last time we talked, I was surprised that AAA Northeast was bringing this kind of strategic expertise to the table, not just to benefit their own members, but really the general public. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background that brought you to our radio station today.
Sure, absolutely. So I've been in the education finance industry for my entire probably 30-year career. The last 15, I've been doing it at AAA. Prior to that, I've worked in the college's financial aid offices. I've worked for some of the government agencies that manage the student loans. I've worked for banks that lend private student loans. But I think my most important qualification, or certainly the one I'm the most proud of, is I'm a parent. I've put one kid through college already, and I currently still have two in college. So I understand from the parent side what it's like to try to navigate this complicated process. And anytime I can help somebody out with advice or guidance along the way, I'm always happy to do so.
So you're like our listener's smart banker uncle. This is going to be great.
That's yeah. A great way to put it.
Yeah, I love it. And I got to tell you, coming out of the COVID era, back when you had one just starting college and two some distance away, your information and support was invaluable for folks who were trying to kind of get their bearings and you know, reintroducing the concept of actually, you know, going into classrooms and labs and gyms and things after all of that social distancing. So I'm glad that's a distant memory now. But what is not is July 1st. It is looming, and so are some changes that you're going to help us understand. So set it up for us. Let us know why July 1st is this sort of pivotal date.
Yeah, so July 1st is going to kind of be the date where lots of changes happen on the federal student loan programs from two main perspectives. The first one is anybody who's sending their child off to college, federal student loans are now having, for the first time, some caps placed on them, and some federal student loan programs are being eliminated altogether. The other major point is anybody who maybe is already graduated college, they have federal student loans and they're in the process of repaying them. There are some major changes to the repayment side that kick off on July 1st as well. So it really touches kind of everybody who has somebody who's either going to college or did go to college and used federal student loan programs.
Well, let's start with what you said first, and that is the capping of certain loan programs, because you and I have both heard probably too many nightmare scenarios of organizations that are very willing to let the money flow and accrue to the borrower without any seeming limitations. And then that really digs that borrower in much deeper than they might have needed to be, and causes them to really be indebted to these institutions for sometimes two or three times the amount of the initial money that they borrowed.
Yeah, it can be. So in some cases, the caps on the loans, they can definitely prevent those negative situations from happening. So with anything, there's good things and bad things about the changes that are coming. And helping people avoid those negative situations is certainly a good thing.
Well, in regards to the caps, what do folks need to know to avoid problems?
So the first one on the Parent Plus loan, so any parent who was looking to borrow that loan program to help fund their education, it's going to have a cap of $20,000 per year for the student. So if your tuition bill is going to be more than that $20,000, and your plan was to borrow the PLUS loan, you need to know you're going to be limited to that. In addition, they put a aggregate or a lifetime cap on it of around $65,000. So even if $20,000 is enough for you, you're going to end up short in the senior year because they're not going to allow you to borrow $20,000 for all 4 years. That last year, you're only going to have $5,000 in remaining eligibility to borrow. So as a parent, if you know your bill is going to be over $20,000, the best thing you can do is start to look at other resources. What other ways can you pay? Whether it's applying for scholarships, which are great sources of free money, or tapping into the equity in your house to help pay if that's your decision that you decide to go. But you need to explore other options.
So if I'm a parent of a college-bound young person who, I'm kind of looking at the long game and they are planning to attend a 4-year program. Are you advising people to maybe consider doing, 15,000-16,000 a year and kind of reserving that extra couple of thousand under the $65,000 cap? Or are you leaning more toward, depending on the individual situation, of getting the 20 each for the 3 years and then utilizing other revenue sources to make up the 15 against the remaining 5,000 in the cap?
Yeah, so the best thing is going to be able to really look at that family's resources and what some of those other options are. This year, the Parent Plus loan is fixed at almost 9%. So if you could find another option that gets you lower, then you can save some of that eligibility for the senior year if you need it. The PLUS loans, their interest rates get reset every single year. 9 is about as high as I've ever seen them. I have seen them as low as 5.25%. So they have a broad range. So really the best thing to do is say, hey, this is where my PLUS loan, what I can borrow with them. What are my other options if it's not enough? And what are those other options costing me as far as interest rates? And then try to compare and find the right one.
Now, you mentioned home equity line as a consideration. Does that mean if the the financing parent or guardian opts to tap into their home equity line that they may accrue a tax advantage?
So they can look into tapping into their home equity line. It does have different implications, can have different tax implications. There certainly have been lots of changes to that. So not as many people get to itemize their deductions anymore. So it may not have as impactful break from that aspect as it has in the past. But it's worth considering from an access to funds and from a cost of funds. So, if that $20,000 is not enough and you have to go else, that's one place families will look. But they want to compare and see what type of rates they can get on it. because it's going to be a tough year for families.
Okay. You also mentioned that some programs are disappearing. Let's touch on that.
Yeah, so graduate students in the past were able to borrow what's called the Graduate Plus Loan from the federal government. That loan program has been entirely eliminated, so it's completely gone. So instead, students could always borrow a direct unsubsidized loan for up to $20,500 per year to pay for graduate school. That is still going to be there, but it's still got a cap. They've extended the cap for certain fields of study, such as anybody who's going into medicine, wants to be a lawyer. They can get up to $50,000 per year under the unsubsidized loan program. But everybody else, they're going to be limited to that $20,500 per year. So it's tough to see one whole loan program go away completely.
Yeah. How does that affect students with existing loans?
So anybody who has existing loans, there's going to be major changes to the repayment processes. Today, there are lots of options if you can't make your payments. You can get income-based repayment plans. You can get what's called the Save on a Valuable Education repayment plan. You can get extended repayment plans, graduated repayment plans. There's probably maybe 15 or 20 different types of repayment plans you can get. As of July 1st, they are all going to be come down to two payment plans. It's going to be a standard repayment plan and a RAP or repayment assistance plan. One is based on your income. So if you're in trouble, you can't make your payments, and your income is not what it should be to pay back your student loans, you can use the RAP plan to try to lower your monthly payments. The other one, just simply a standard repayment plan, it is going to automatically set your payments to a length based on the amount you owe. So, for example, if you owe less than $25,000 on your student loans, they're going to give you a 10-year repayment period. If you owe more than $25,000, but they'll give you a 15-year repayment term. The more you owe, the longer repayment term they give you. So again, good things and bad things about those changes, but anybody who currently is in repayment and is using an income-based repayment plan, they should absolutely reapply for it before July 1st, because they'll be able to continue on it for a little while. Eventually, all the income-based repayment plans will be phased out. But if they need the help they're used to getting, now's the time to submit your application and try to lock in a little bit more of time where you can use those payment plans you're used to.
Hmm. Don, would you advise folks who's in the classic model, their kids are going into their junior year and starting to make some decisions, or they're even in their senior year or beyond and finally getting squared away and making some plans for college? Would you advise that maybe a good place to start is their very own bank for ideas and parameters?
Yeah, it's never a bad idea to start with your own local bank that you used, even if it's on home equity options, to see what they have. But you can also ask them what type of private student loan options they may have. There's not a lot of banks available around that do it as much as there once was. A lot of banks, unfortunately, have kind of exited the student loan business. But there are still some out there, and it's worth asking now to try to find out what your options are now. So when you're choosing colleges, you're choosing the college you know you have the ability to afford in some way.
Okay. And I guess a question that maybe I should have asked at the very beginning, but it'll probably be a good way to wrap up our conversation for today. why is this guidance coming from an organization like AAA, generally a more of an automobile and driver support agency?
Yeah, so we're a membership organization at our base, and we judge ourselves by everything we do for our members. So it's not just that assistance on the side of the road that we can give you, that's fantastic, but we're here to help our members in any way we can with any journey they're going through in life, you know, whether it's they're taking a once-in-a-lifetime trip, they need help with insurance, or they need help on the college journey. That's what's most important, that they complete their journey to us, and we're just here to try to give them the advice and guidance so they can make the decisions that are best for them. And hopefully it's with us, and we can help them save some money as well.
And maybe, you know, coming straight from the friendly uncle banker perspective, certainly we see an increasing amount of young people who are really starting out on this journey on their own to some respect. The financial situation of the parents or caregivers are not lined up in a way where they could really give much help, or they're not giving much help. Is there something different or something that student age borrowers need to be aware of or be wary of if they are striking out on their own to try to finance their education?
Yeah, so they can absolutely, believe it or not, that particular situation you're describing can tend to help qualify for more financial aid, for more assistance from colleges and universities. So, but they also have to understand that at some point they're going to be limited in their access to funds to pay for it if that additional financial aid doesn't cover everything. So focusing maybe on some more affordable paths in the early beginning. Lots of states have introduced free community college and even some free tuition on state colleges. So take advantage of those things early on. And then later on in the college career that they're going through, you know, it'll make that easier. There'll be less financial resources they're looking to come up with. It can be a struggle for students on their own to secure loans without somebody like a parent who's willing to co-sign, or an aunt and uncle or somebody else.
Yeah. So if their design is to get a degree from more of a widely renowned college institution, maybe they should get all of the kind of the necessary required courses out of the way at community or state colleges, and think about perhaps moving toward the institution where they want their diploma from a little bit later in the scholastic recipe.
Exactly. That's going to help remove some of those financial barriers or that financial stress of being able to pay for college.
Fantastic.
It's a great way to do it.
Excellent. Don, always great advice and information. Don Kerr is AAA Northeast's Director of Student Lending and College Services. One of the many things that you may not know you can get by being part of or visiting AAANortheast.com. Don, thank you so much, and we will probably be talking to you again.